Anyway, very excited for our brother. So, on the same sort of vein, this is like lots of things that kind of weave together. I have had a verse in my mind, and I'll share it. It's very, very similar to what Madison was sharing. For the last little while, that's definitely been something that I've been pondering on. I am 10 days short of celebrating 25 years in my job. I was thinking about this morning. So you can imagine when I started there, and I actually had done a summer internship before. I looked five when I started, and I actually kind of did and got a lot of interesting responses from people when I showed up. And I would say for the first 23 years in my job, it was quite stable. And the last 2 years has been filled with much change. And that change continued to hurtle along this summer. Even as I was taking time off, change was happening. And whenever change comes, whether you are starting your first job or you're 25 years into a job, you can still be looking to the Lord going, Lord, I don't know what the future exactly looks like, and I get to trust you. And the verse for me that was super encouraging is in Hebrews 11. So I'll share this with you. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. So Hebrews 11, 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And that line there in the first sentence, he went out not knowing where he was going, is the part that has just really been in for probably the past almost month in my mind, of a recognition of, Lord, I don't know exactly how some of these things are going to play out, what it's all going to look like, but this element of learning to trust the Lord, and so much of what Maddie shared, I'm just going to share other verses that really tie into that super well. You know, if you were to go back to Genesis, and specifically Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham actually started this journey, you get this picture. I'm just going to read you one verse here. So just Genesis 12, 8. So he starts his journey. He leaves at the beginning of chapter 12. So we're 8 verses in, and it says, then he proceeded from there, where he was, to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And there's a few times it says that. I've always loved those verses in the context of knowing he was on a journey and he didn't know where he was going. And so what was his recourse in the midst of that uncertainty? He would just call on the name of the Lord. And it doesn't say anything beyond that. But I've always had this picture in my mind of Abraham just crying out, like, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. And this awesome, Maddie talks about Moses, because that's not the story that came to my mind, but it's so true. Okay, you're going to lead these millions of people out of Egypt, and then through the Red Sea and through the wilderness. Where are we going? Well, there's going to be a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Just follow that. Like that's kind of the direction. And in fairness, no, they had a promise. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. But so many other questions could swirl. And even for our brother, many questions, right? There's something so significant, a new job or getting married, all these things, questions can swirl. And in the midst of that, you get an opportunity to just like, Lord, I need to trust you. And I was thinking of the verse 2, and Maddie referenced this in 1 Peter 5, where it talks about casting all of our anxieties on the Lord. And that is so critical. So critical to be able to just cast our burdens on the Lord, cast all of our anxieties on him, knowing what? That he cares for us. We heard that already this morning. The challenge, and I'm sure I've shared this before, the challenge when we're doing that I'm going to read this, actually, before I say the challenge I find. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 10. You can flip there if you want, but I'll read you these five verses. It says in 1 Peter 5, 5, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." So just for the record, this applies to younger men, younger women, older men, older women. I think it applies to all of us in the sense of this: God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And then a warning: be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. When you think of this, the kind of saying, oh, cast my anxieties and my burdens on the Lord, and then it kind of swings to, okay, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. I think it's good not to like necessarily separate those two verses. When you think of how is the devil seeking to devour, where is the battle? The battle, we've talked about this often, the battle so often is that battle in the mind, and the devil trying to, if the devil can produce anxiety and worry and fear and all those things, like that's an incredibly effective way of robbing a believer of their faith, of their peace, of their joy. So to recognize this is a tactic of the devil, is to just put questions in our minds in times of uncertainty, just pound our minds with these things that can make us, and you have to in those moments, I need to cast all these things on the Lord. So here's the danger. Maybe I'm alone in this. I'm going to guess I'm not. You pray, you cast it on the Lord, and then the battle begins to actually leave it there and not take it back and not continue to stew on it. Like you have to, Lord, I am surrendering this to you, this uncertainty, this question I have, what is it going to look like, whatever the case may be, but to be able to just trust. Lord, I have prayed. And so now that's not my burden anymore. We sang the song, the battle is the Lord's. Lord, I am leaving that with you. And I read this a little bit with my kids. This is such a common story. We know the story of Jehoshaphat. And I was thinking about the question, what does it look like? Because right before he says, casting all your anxiety on him, he says, God's opposed to the proud, he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So I wrote down this question, what does it look like to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? One of the ways you humble yourself is you cast your anxieties on him, right? It's an acknowledgement. I need you, Lord. I don't have this all figured out. I don't have it all together. Or Lord, this is new to me. I don't know what the future looks like. And I can tell it wants to produce anxiety in me. And so the passage that came to my mind as an example was Jehoshaphat. And it's a very familiar story, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I read it with my boys, and I was asking them, like, the thing that I realize is we can humble ourselves before the Lord. You can humble yourself before the Lord with faith, and you can humble yourself before the Lord without faith. One of those produces hope, and one produces, actually, it's strange. You can humble yourself before the Lord, but if you don't believe he's going to help you, you can be despairing, discouraged. And so it's a recognition when we come before the Lord and we humble ourselves before him. And if we walk away and we are not encouraged and feeling hope, we need to look inward. Lord, why? I just came, I brought my anxiety to you, and I feel hopeless. It's like the story, where is this one? I wrote this down. Mark chapter 9. a man who comes and says to Jesus, his son was plagued with, with a demon. And he'd asked the disciples to cast it out. The disciples couldn't cast it out. Jesus comes down and they ask him. And the man says to, this is Mark chapter 9, verse 24. He says, like, if you can do anything, can you help my son? And Jesus says, if I can do anything? Kind of, he responds to the question with a question. Are you questioning if I can do anything? And the man, he says, if you can believe, that's the crux of it. Is if you can believe, then I can help your son. And the man says, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. And so when we looked at the story of Jehoshaphat, he humbles himself in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20, 12. He says, oh, our God. So there's this huge army. If you're not familiar with the story, there's a huge army. I think multiple cities or nations are coming against him. And he gets the report, and he's afraid. But he turns his attention to seek the Lord. He actually declares, I believe it's a fast. People come together. They're praying. They're seeking the Lord. And this is what Jehoshaphat says. He says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Have you ever felt that way? Lord, I'm powerless against this. I cannot do this. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And I asked my kids when I read that, I said, did he have faith when he said this? Do you think Jehoshaphat, this was a statement of faith or not? And I said, I believe it is. I believe this statement is like, Lord, I know I can do nothing. Lord, but my eyes are on you. And I believe that's the statement of faith. Jehoshaphat not just saying our eyes are on you. He's like, I believe he's saying, I know you can help us. If you skip down to verse 15, there's a prophet stands up and the prophet says, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. I skipped a verse there just so you, if you're wondering, if you're following along. And so then in verse 20, they rose early in the morning and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in the prophets that succeed. And then 22, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. So they were routed. So one of the ways that I wanted to take away from this, and the reason I share this, is when we come and we cast our anxieties on the Lord, and you want to leave it there, the battle was won by faith, and I believe a huge part of it was when they just began to praise the Lord. And I think it's a great takeaway when we're thinking, like, okay, you're sitting there and you've prayed and you're still feeling anxious. Just following the example of saying, well, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm just going to begin to give thanks. I'm going to thank the Lord now. And it isn't always necessarily because your heart is overflowing, but it's like you're it's just almost forcing you. So, Lord, I do believe. Every thought in my mind is coming against me that how this is not going to work out, but I choose to trust you. And in fact, I choose to praise you. And I choose to give you thanks, Lord. It's not like all of a sudden I now can see how it's all going to work out. Nothing has changed, but we walk by faith, not by what we can see. And so, Lord, I'm just choosing to trust you. And part of me walking that out is I'm choosing to just give thanks by faith. I think oftentimes the devil would tell us, well, you're not thankful. Your heart's not there. But it's like making the choice to say, no, I'm choosing to give thanks. I'm choosing to praise the Lord. Even the time connected with this, a very familiar psalm, and I think we have a song on this. But Psalm 34 is a psalm that I love, and it starts off with the psalmist David just praising the Lord. And it's so interesting because if you only read the first verse or two, if you're in a situation where you are perhaps anxious, you're going through uncertainty, all these things, and I came, well, let me share a couple of verses with you, and I share these first two verses with you. Say, hey, brother or sister, let me encourage you with this. Psalm 34:1. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. If you were struggling, you could say, well, thank you, brother, for sharing that. That's good. Pray for me that I can walk it out. You don't know, maybe know my circumstance. You don't know what's causing me anxieties and the uncertainties. And perhaps this psalmist was just, you know, just in a great place and they were rejoicing. And so it was very easy for the psalmist to write this. Then you read the next few verses and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute. I think the psalmist was in the exact same place perhaps I'm in of uncertainties and fears and anxieties. Because then he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And so you see, I believe that David is, in fact, the little note, how accurate these notes are, we don't know, but the little note at the start of this, it says it's a psalm that David wrote after he faked madness before Abimelech, and then Abimelech drove him away. So his life was in danger. And he's magnifying the Lord because he's saying, like, look, I sought the Lord and he heard my cry and he's delivered me out of every fear that I had. And so the psalm goes on, but you see, you just see the heart attitude there of just being willing to praise the Lord. And so that to me, when we think of being in this time, if you are perhaps in a time where you're like, yeah, I don't know what the future holds. I've got so many questions running through my mind. Those questions want to produce worry. They want to produce anxiety. And we want to cast those on the Lord. We want to be able to walk in faith. Lord, it's okay if I don't know what the future holds. Then I can still trust you. Some have probably been waiting for the last month whether I would share a story about running. I'll give you like a couple minutes on running if you were hoping for it. If you were thinking, I hope he doesn't share another story on running, good news is it'll only be a couple minutes. We did have a chance to do a run about a month ago, Nathaniel and I, and the unique thing I would say on this run for us, I don't think it's fair to say for both of us, was the element that it ended at night. For us it did. It didn't end for everybody at night, but for us it ended at night. And so we ran for four and a half hours in the dark. And that's not something I've ever really done before. And so naturally you have obviously you're running with headlamps. And you know, it says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And when you're running with a headlamp, you obviously only can really see a small space in front of you. But the element of this was we climbed a long ways and then we got up really basically above the tree line. And we'd even been warned actually beforehand, as right before we started this, we met somebody and he said, hey, just so you know, there's four false summits on this section of the trail. So just take that as a note. And I was like, oh man, I'm so glad he told us. And so we got out there and I was dealing with fear and actually anxiety while I was running, which I never have. And it all had to do with the fact all I could see was this little patch in front of me. Because we got up there, we got quite high, and you're running on the side of a mountain. And it was, you know, I could look out, I could see the skyline of other mountains, but I couldn't tell. And some of the sections were pretty rocky and stuff. I couldn't tell if I trip, how far would I fall? That was the question that was running through my mind. I had this thought going through my mind. If I trip, how far am I going to fall before I actually stop tumbling down the side of this mountain? And I was battling this anxious thought, and then we finally started, I will say just anecdotally, I remember at one point Nathaniel saying to me, he says, Tim, I think we have to climb that mountain. And I was like, no, there is no way. That is not, because we could see a headlamp moving on that mountain. And I was like, there's no way we have to climb that mountain. I said, that's on the other side of the valley. You remember when we came down? That's somebody coming. That's somebody coming down the other side of the valley. They're way behind us. We did have to climb that mountain. And, but we eventually did. And went by, we start climbing, even coming down to the trees. I've never, all the running that we've done, I've never battled these thoughts of, like, if I trip, how far am I going to fall off this trail? Like, it was the strangest thing to me. Why am I battling these thoughts? And it was encouraging to me, because right before we started, my mom had said to us, she was there at the start, and she'd said to Nathaniel and I, she said, hey, just had a verse for you. Just, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And it, and I don't know if that verse maybe is where it started, but I remembered the next verse. Does anybody remember what the next verse says after that? It says, and he will not allow your foot to slip. As soon as that verse came to my mind, it's like faith just rose up in my heart, and I was like, I'm not going to fall. And it was super encouraging for me, because at this point, you're a long ways into this race, and you're probably not thinking totally clearly either. I'll admit that. But you know, just to see, right, God's word is a light to our path and a lamp to our path and a light to our feet. And in the sense of being able, in the midst of times of uncertainty, to find that anchor, right, that is the hope for our soul, right? It's the anchor for our soul that in the midst of it, to believe, like, Lord, to come to him, like I was thinking, what's the other verse that comes to mind? You think of humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The verse that came to my mind was just coming boldly to the throne of grace, that we would receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And just to be able to cry out to him, but cry out to him with faith. And I even told my children, I said, if you're ever in that place where you're crying out and you don't necessarily feel hope, I said, you know how many times I have prayed the same prayer that that man said to Jesus. I'd cry out to him and say, Lord, and help me with my unbelief. If there's unbelief there, Lord, because we need to be able to cast our anxieties on the Lord and trust him in times of uncertainty, because that's what this life is. I mean, you look at how many, especially if you look at the Old Testament, as Maddie was saying that, I was like, man, what was I thinking? I come to Abraham, but I'm, of course, Moses, Joshua, David, all of them, so many of the men and women of faith, it was like, hey, I've got this Herculean task for you. I want you to do it. Well, what's it going to look like? I just want you to do it. I want you to be the king of Israel. I want you to be a judge and drive out this nation, whatever it was. They didn't have all the answers. But to just trust the Lord. So for me, this has been something that's in my heart and something that I've been thinking. And so I was thinking of all these different things in terms of encouraging myself with this. I just want to share, but I'll share a couple more passages and wrap up. But in the sense of there was a day where I was super encouraged reading through Psalm 119 and just all the benefits in the midst of this time. You're casting your anxiety in the Lord and seeking to just be able to, Lord, I want to be full of faith. I don't want to take that burden back. I want to believe that the battle is yours and not mine, and I don't need to figure it out. That's a huge thing. The devil will tell us, but you need to figure it out. And I'll tell you, man, there's such rest when I don't fight that battle. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, and I'm so grateful I don't have to know how it's going to work out, because you know how it's going to work out, and I can just trust you with that. And there's times now, I would say, I'm thankful coming to a place. I will continue. This is not something that I've arrived in. It's something that we will grow in, I believe, until we go to be with Jesus or he comes. But getting more comfortable with being able to just say, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how it's going to play out. That's okay. I can just trust the Lord and be at rest in the midst of just being, I'm okay. Now that I've just said that publicly, I will get tested on it. that's the way it goes. But it the reality of just being able to trust in the midst of uncertainty. And so the value of God's word, and why I share this story in terms of just how the power of one verse can just wipe away anxiety when it's mixed with faith, can wipe away that fear or that anxiety. And then just simple things, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 5 says, this is a familiar passage probably to some, but for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is massive. And I can remember early in my walk with the Lord, I've shared this with a few people over the years, there was something that I was battling with, and I remember thinking, man, I have to take every thought captive. And I was like, I didn't have faith for that, because all I could think about was how many times these thoughts came into my mind every day, and I was thinking, from now on, I just have to take every one of those captive. And I can actually distinctly remember, I believe I know exactly where I was, I think I can remember which brother I was with, when the thought came to my mind, maybe the brother shared it with me, or maybe it just came to mind, I was like, how about you just take the next thought captive? And it was like, I have faith for that. I have faith to believe I can take the next thought captive. And that's where the journey began. I was like, I got faith for that. I don't have to have faith for every thought. Right? And frankly, that's just kind of the devil anyway, because remember, I haven't read the verse, but I'd written it down. It says that we're not to worry about tomorrow. Right? Today has enough worries. Today has enough of its own challenges that can cause worry, can cause anxiety. We don't need to think about tomorrow. At work, oftentimes, people will say something to me and I'll say, you know, that's next year Tim's problem. I'm not going to let this year, right? Today Tim is not going to worry about that. We're not going to think about that. So this taking every thought captive, how do you do that? One, you just try and change the channel in your mind. Again, praise and thanksgiving is so powerful in being able to just take those thoughts captive and change your mind, right? What does it say? Setting your mind on things above, those things that are lovely and pure and honorable, and just seeking to set our mind on those things above. If we've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Not to be conformed to this world, but again, being all of these things about renewing the mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The last probably thought that I'd had, and just in terms of really fixing our eyes on Jesus, and I'd written down many different verses on this, and I'd shared about Psalm 121, 1 to 8. That psalm has been a blessing to me. There's another psalm, Psalm 123, a couple of psalms after that, that has always, too, been an encouragement to me. And I just share with you the first two verses, very similar. It just says, to you, in verse 1 and 2, Psalm 123, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you. Look to the Lord our God until he is gracious to us. Just being able to fix our eyes on Jesus, humbling ourselves and acknowledging our need of him. That again, just I want to challenge you and encourage you in the sense of when we do that, are we then filled with hope and encouragement? Or are we despairing and discouraged? Because those are two people could pray the exact same prayer. Two people could quote the exact same verse. They could both quote Psalm 123, 1 and 2. Lord, my eyes are looking to you as the eyes of a servant look to its master, or the eyes of a maid looks to her mistress. One can walk away so encouraged praise God. And the other walks away despairing. If we're walking away despairing, if we're feeling discouragement and despair, I just encourage you, humble yourself in the area of unbelief. And just say, Lord, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. And just begin to praise the Lord and give thanks and find ways to strengthen yourself in the Lord. We've been looking at Galatians on Friday night and really having an awesome study over the last number of weeks about the difference between walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit versus being under the law. How the Spirit brings life, but the law brings death. And for me, I've said, in sharing a little of my own testimony in this, how in the early days, I would hear testimonies of people who would spend hours in prayer and hours reading and the Word and fasting, and then I'd feel like I had to do that. And so it was like a journey for me of like, okay, well, it isn't just about checking a box that I've prayed or read, or it isn't about how much time I spent. So why do I want to get in the Word? Why do I want to pray? Why do I want to have fellowship? Because those things in and of themselves, they're not bringing. It's about faith in Christ. Right? Even Jesus said, you search the Scriptures believing in them you'll have life, but you're not willing to come to me. And he said that to the Pharisees. But it's a recognition. Lord, I want to spend time in your Word because it can build my faith. Lord, I often pray, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. I need that one verse today, Lord, that can be the anchor on which I can stand or the rock on which I can stand. Lord, give me that verse that I need today to sustain me. Or maybe I need to be challenged. Maybe I need to be convicted. Like, Lord, show me what it is, but Lord, I need it. And all of a sudden, you can be like the psalmist who says, like, I need your word more than my daily food. Lord, I need it because I believe the psalmist David had come to an appreciation, Lord, that like it's sweeter than honey, even the honey of honeycomb. Like it brings life to me, Lord. It encourages me. It strengthens me. And when we're coming in, that's why we're spending time in God's word, because Lord, I know it can help me to stand. It can sustain me. It's like running a long way. One of the greatest things that will knock you out of the race is if you don't eat. Right? You have to be eating all the time and hydrating all the time, right? If we're trying to run this race of faith and we're not actively doing the things that we know will feed us and feed our faith, like spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, getting fellowship, why? I'm encouraged. We're starting, I think this week, we start youth. And I'm grateful for the brothers that are taking this on and that they know the value of encouraging the youth to have fellowship and seeking to build them up. And that's true for all of us. It's not like, well, the youth need that, but the adults don't. Like we need that fellowship. We need the encouragement to be built up. Why? So our faith can stand, so that when we are going through times of uncertainty, when we are anxious thoughts are coming against our mind, we can cast them on the Lord. We can come boldly to the throne of grace with faith, and know when we walk away, God's going to help me. He's going to fight this battle for me. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what the outcome is going to look like. I don't know any of that. But I have confidence that God is going to help me and sustain me and carry me through. And when we can do that, you can have hope and joy in the midst of times of great uncertainty. Not because our circumstances have changed, but because we can trust in the Lord. And that's just what I hope I can encourage you just a little bit this morning in that we can trust in the Lord and just hope in him. And if you're struggling with that, humble yourself, acknowledge that to the Lord, begin to just praise him and seek to build your faith through meditating on his word and fixing your eyes on him.